Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Are You Not Kentertained? Today is May 22nd. This is episode 48. It's a Monday, and that means one thing. We just had a wrestling pay-per-view, and Steve is here with me. How you doing, Steve?
I am doing wonderful.
That's wonderful to hear. All in all, I don't know, did you like the weekend? I thought it was a good weekend.
As far as wrestling-wise, or just overall?
I mean, if you want to tell me how your weekend went, I think the audience would love to know.
No, just wrestling-wise, it was good. Nothing that terrible.
I actually enjoyed the weekend. Like, I'm actually in a positive mood for once when dealing with WWE. So, we'll get right down to the nitty-gritty, and we'll talk about NXT first, TakeOver in Chicago. Heading into the event, did it look like a good card to you, or did it feel a little lackluster?
It felt a bit subpar, but it's been trending that way for a while now, so I wasn't really surprised at how bad it seemed.
Yeah, on paper, the card seems... either like a vibe of been there, done that, or nothing that really titillated me, aside from, you know, I'm always a sucker for tag team ladder matches. Always.
Yes, that was an interesting ladder match, which we'll get to, but...
Yeah, so, first off, I want to kind of bring up the fact that they did a NXT TakeOver, and we didn't have Drew McIntyre or Drew It's McIntyre now, right?
Yes, McIntyre. Yep.
Alright. Just as soon as I get it in my head that he's Drew Galloway in TNA, now he's fucking McIntyre again, really, mind fucks me. Andrade, Cien Almas, Chris Hero, probably missing one or two.
Hero?
Oh, Hero? Aleister Black.
Hero was there.
Hero was there in the crowd, yes. Aleister Black wasn't in a match. Like, does it seem like they could have done, like, a pre-show match, maybe, and included some of these guys? Because those are big names in NXT.
I didn't see what the pre-matches were, but I assume we'll see whatever they were on NXT Wednesday.
Yeah, good chance of it. I don't know. I feel that WWE could just show the pre... Like, do a kickoff match. Do like they do for normal pay-per-views. Give us the same thing on NXT. There's no rhyme and reason
with
not
a commercial during the match.
Absolutely, because you can't have a commercial before and after the match. Nope, you have to do it right in the middle and kill all
flow. You need
flow
to hype the upcoming pay-per-view plus the one in 2 weeks for the other brand.
Hey, Steve, did you know that for the first time ever, there's a fatal five-way and it's going to be historic? Did you know this?
I had no idea.
Yeah, wow. It's amazing.
We should advertise this.
Yeah, somebody should probably get off their ass and say something on Raw, but no. All right, we start off with Roderick Strong versus Eric Young. They've been doing some good vignettes with Roderick Strong the past 2-3 weeks, which I thought were pretty good and effective. How'd you feel about the match?
It was just a match. I didn't like how Strong beat Sanity by himself when Ty Dillinger took forever to do it.
So Ty Dillinger makes the main roster, and he couldn't take them on by himself, but Roderick Strong is capable of it. Yeah.
Because Roderick Strong has a family.
Because he just got a baby. Good storytelling, WWE.
And his dad got shot by his mom.
That was such a... Like, I'm sitting here, and I don't even know what the hell I was doing. I don't know if I was working on a blog or playing a game or something. And I'm kind of, like, paying attention to that, and all of a sudden, he talks about how his dad got shot, and I was like, the fuck? Didn't see that coming.
I know, because it's like Roddy Strong's, like, who really cares? So you kind of, like, you know, do other stuff when it's on, and you're like, wait a minute, his leg is pretty messed up.
It just really blew my mind a little bit, so, whatever. Match quality-wise, it existed. I don't know, it was kind of like the match that you expect, only with the finish that I didn't really expect. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, the win for Roddy was surprising, but not really since he had that whole vignettes for him beforehand. We should have saw that coming, but yeah, I mean, it's just like a placeholder match.
Do you Do you think that they're building Roddy up to be the next challenger, or do you think we'll get another new number one? Or the same?
It seems like they're building him up to something. I don't think he has the charisma or to be the heavyweight, to be the champion.
He doesn't. He's a talented in-ring guy, although I fully admit some of his stuff. Like, I've never watched a Roderick Strong match and thought, wow, these first 5 minutes are entertaining. Because they're not. He builds up, but he's not. Yeah. And that's like, that's a game changer for wrestlers. If they're charismatic enough, they can carry the interest of the first 5 minutes. Technical wrestlers need charisma in order to be able to maintain that first 5 minutes of a match for like a pay-per-view quality match. Roderick isn't there yet.
It's like WCW when they had Malenko Jericho or Malenko Mysterio.
Yeah.
Someone can carry the match for Malenko, and then he gets into it later on, and then it's a good match.
Absolutely. And, you know, as much as we're critiquing it, and I mean, these guys have been doing this stuff for years, this is still developmental, and I feel sometimes people are a little hard on NXT quality matches. It's like, this is their developmental, so. Yeah, we've gotten a lot of great matches, but you can't expect greatness from developmental. I guess that's my point.
You kind of can, though, from Eric Young and Roddy Strong. They've been doing this for a long time.
I expect it from Eric Young just because I really liked EY in TNA. Like, not all of his stuff, but a lot of his stuff I really did like when he was on Team Canada. There was a few times where he was pretty damn good, I thought. So, I don't know. I think... Do you think Sanity's main roster bound out before the end of the year?
What are they going to be, though? Like the Wyatt Family 2.0?
Yeah.
Their promos are pretty much like Bray Wyatt's promos.
They are a darker, more heavy metal, and they actually have a Sister Abigail.
How long do you think she'll be with them, though, in the main roster call-up?
I think it'd be a complete mistake to not bring her because I think she's what separates them from most other groups and stables throughout the history of wrestling. They have a capable female who completely fits the vibe that they're doing. Think about that. Like, most stables don't have that. China with DX work.
That's true. Dangerous Alliance, maybe, with Medusa?
Medusa, yeah.
That's true. Yeah, other than that many.
And for me, that's a selling point. I'm a huge Nikki Cross fan. I think if she was just given somebody good to work with, I think we could see a really great match. And I don't think that person's Ruby Riott, but we'll get into that. But I think she's really good.
I still think she's playing more mentally challenged and crazy, but that's just me.
Yeah. Once again, developmental, she needs to fine-tune that shit. But once again, they'll make it to the main roster and they'll be jobbing within 3 months and all of this conversation will become moot. Yes.
But they could be champions a month after that.
That is true. Alright. So, moving on, we then had the UK Championship match, which I didn't even think belonged on this card, to be perfectly honest. Like, I will admit that I would have rather seen Drew Galloway Drew McIntyre versus Andrade, for instance, in a 15-minute match going into it. And then we had this match, and the match was fucking phenomenal. So I can't take back what I thought, but still, do you feel that the UK Championship should be defended on NXT?
It should be until their weekly show gets started. And I think get JR on TV as much as possible. So NXT is fine for that.
Am I wrong in saying that WWE really needs to slow their fucking roll with these? Like, they did the Cruiserweight Championship, and then it was months before they actually had the division. UK, they did the championship. Months later, they're finally going to get their own show. Shouldn't they have everything in place so that, like, the tournament's, like, the first, like, episode of the series, so as soon as the tournament's done, you can get right into the TV show? Wouldn't that make more sense?
It would, because you pretty much forget about everybody that you saw, except for Wolfgang.
and, actually, speaking of which, with the women's tournament coming up, do you think they're ever going to do, like, an all-woman show? Is that even a possibility?
Like Glow?
If it's Glow 2.0, I don't care. I will watch the shit out of it. I can't even find old Glow online.
I know, it's awful.
I really wish... It sucks. I loved Glow.
I used to watch Roller Derby and then Glow when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Such a good childhood.
Fucking it. Really? Yeah. Absolutely. You know what? I still liked Roller Derby when it was on... What was that? Before or after ECW on TNN?
Oh, yeah. That was awesome. It was definitely scripted, but yeah, it was good.
Oh, so scripted, but so fun. Ah, good times. As far as, like, do you think there's a possibility for an all-women show, or would that take away too much from, like, the main roster?
The main roster could use more women, but at the same time, they only have so many spots. So,
and so much time.
A women's show would be good to keep them in people's mind. You know, they can still watch them and be like, oh yeah, you know, I've seen her wrestle a few times. She's pretty good.
What do you think about the idea of... I don't know if wrestling's ever done this, but, like, I don't know, I think some soccer leagues do it, where if you don't win enough, you drop down a level, right?
Relegation.
And then... Yeah. Would that work for a women's division?
I think it'd work for any division. Even the main roster.
I'd like to see it.
If you lose too much, go to NXT.
Yeah. I mean, because then Dana could go back down to NXT and get the extra training that she
needs.
Right, or
if your character sucks, go on to NXT, work on something else.
Send Bo Dallas back down. Send the Ascension back down. You know, get these guys straightened out.
American Alpha, apparently.
I am shocked at how bad they have done with American Alpha.
Me too. I thought sure Kurt Angle would help them out somehow, but...
Why do you think that didn't go down? Why do you think they stayed on SmackDown?
Hardys.
Fucking Hardy boys. Still being dicks. Bastards. Oh well. Regarding the match, did it steal the show for you?
Yeah, that was like the fastest airplane spin I've ever seen. It was amazing.
I was waiting for him to drop him because it was going so fast. It was impressive as hell.
That plane's gonna trip and fall.
I was amazed, and like, it not only was it fast, he kept going for what seemed, you know, like an eternity for that kind of type of move.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, he's done it all the time on the tournament and everything, but usually it's slower and he stops midway. And then goes the other way, I think. But this time he just kept going nonstop at like full speed. It was amazing.
Yeah, probably the adrenaline maybe kicked in and he just went for it. And I thank both guys for the match that they put on. I've only seen Pete Dunne a couple times, but I've liked everything that I've seen of him. He reminds me of William Regal with a little bit more of a maniacal side to him, or... You know, he's just a little bit more dickish.
Yeah, JR said it was either on NXT or the UK special. A young Fit Finley. I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
See, I think he's more regal because he does a lot of those stretches and shit like that.
Which, yeah, that's true. Finley's more of a brawler than anything else.
Finley's a brawler, so I don't know. To me, Pete Dunne's more regal. I don't even know what the hell compare Tyler Bate to because... I don't like looking at the guy for some reason. Looking at the guy just irritates me, but then like he puts on really good matches and I try to forgive him, but he still kind of looks like a douchebag to me.
It's because he's a doof. I mean, he's a hand wave thing when he walks out. Like he's just weird.
Yeah.
He's just weird.
I love his matches though, so it's tough, but yeah, match of the night, match of the weekend, would you say? Or no. If not, we'll save that for later.
But yeah, probably. I don't see... Yeah, I would say match of the night. Weekend.
Yeah, I would say that's up there for match of the year contender. I would put that behind the three-way NXT tag team title from WrestleMania weekend.
It's going to be tough to top that three-way tag team.
That was one of the most perfect matches I'd ever seen, so I don't think anything's topping it. But I put the Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate at number two right now for me this year. Because this year hasn't had a ton of great matches, like, over the top great. There was a lot of very good matches, but great matches, we're almost at the end of May. I can only think of a handful.
Yeah. Well, Cena's been out for a while, so.
Oh, so that's why the work rate is so down. I forgot. Oh, well. He'll come back. Hustle, loyalty, respect, Strowman.
Yep.
All right. After that, we got the three-way women's match with Asuka retaining, as is tradition. Did you... all right. My perspective was that it seemed like a spot fest more than a wrestling match. It seemed like something Lita would have been involved in. Did you get the same vibe?
It wasn't what I was expecting. I was definitely expecting something else. For some reason, maybe a better match. It just didn't click for me. I don't know.
Is it just me or is Ruby Riott, like, I want to say like a step too slow, but she doesn't help with the chain working of like a normal match, especially three-way. There needs to be a flow where there's one person out of the ring and two people usually going at it. And she didn't... I don't know, I thought Asuka was fine. She did what she was supposed to do. I feel Nikki did as much as she could. But Ruby, I like her, but just... I don't know. I pick her. I don't know, maybe I'm picking on the wrong person.
I think she needs to adjust to the WWE style more. And Ember Moon being out probably threw everything off.
Can we talk about that fucking toss by Asuka when she hucked Ember Moon out? Did that not look ridiculous?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Like, did Ember just jump way too far? Did Asuka screw it up? Or
I can't imagine Asuka. I don't think Asuka would have even had the strength to throw her that much. I think Ember wanted to make sure she cleared in between the ropes, is my guess, and she just launched herself a little too far.
Yeah, a tad bit.
It looked bad. And was that a legit injury, or was that a storyline?
I think it was legit, as far as I know. If your storyline doing pretty good work.
I mean, it was such a nasty fall that I was like, okay, she's hurt, and sure enough, she was, and I can't imagine she would have done that bump being hurt prior, you know what I mean?
Right.
Doing that bump wouldn't make sense.
I think she got injured doing that.
That's a shame. Do you still think Ember Moon's the one that's going to take it off Asuka?
It seems like it, unless they had the tournament beforehand, and then whoever wins the tournament will...
If they build up enough momentum for somebody,
right.
Maybe.
Apparently, they have two Japanese women coming in that are, like, the best women wrestlers in the world.
And then didn't the one have to not do the top rope elbow because Bayley botches
that's,
the Macho Man
that's the story.
So bad?
Yeah.
Like, Bayley cannot pull that fucking move off. And I love Bayley, but she hits it so bad. Sorry, she does.
Who's better, though, her or CM Punk?
I'll still go CM Punk because of CM Punk, but no, he does it better
at that too.
He was awful at it. I don't know. Sometimes you just can't do it right, so stop doing it. Like, try it, and if you look at it and you're like, this don't look good, you can keep trying, but maybe not do it on televised TV until you nail it or you just stop.
Yeah.
Like, I never understood why Edge did a spear, for instance. He never looked good doing it.
Yeah, and it really messed his neck up, didn't it?
Sure did. Although that spear on Foley at Mania through the flaming table is something I will never forget.
That was a good one. Yeah.
Fucking amazing. I don't know, for me, was this the weakest match on the card for you, or was it still the first match?
First match. Still worst.
Yeah, I'm looking at what I gave for rating. I gave that the women's a 5.6, and I gave the first match a 5.8. I mean, split hairs, basically. I don't know. I can go either way. Both matches were not anything that I'd watch them again, but I'm not going to do it unless like I'm showing somebody that wants to see the whole card. Moving on, we had Bobby Roode taking on Kenta and I'd rather call him Kenta because it's like my name only with an A. I thought this match was better than expected. I don't know. Hideo hasn't shown me much on the roster, mainly due to injuries, but I don't know. He's been a little underwhelming, I felt. So this was like one of his best matches, don't you think?
Oh yeah, it definitely was. They need to start booking Bobby Roode's matches differently now, though. Because for like the fourth time in a row, the guy hit the finisher, then he went out of the ring. And they brought it back in the ring, and like right away he hits a DDT and ends it.
You're right. That is something that needs to be changed. And there needs to be some communication between the NXT people and the main roster people, because we had person with her arm during the Roode match, and one of the matches last night in Backlash, somebody had her arm, right? I can't remember which match it was.
It was Orton, wasn't it?
Yeah. So maybe you guys have a little communication, because both your world champions had a match back-to-back nights where their arm and shoulder was hurt. Like, it seems lazy, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's tough, though, because... Well, I don't know why he was working on Robbie Roode's arm. Was it just because of DDT finisher?
I guess, but... I don't know. I feel the DDT is just as much legs as it is arm. So... I've rather seen his leg being worked on, and Orton's arm makes the most sense to work on.
Because he has legitimate, I forget what they call it, right. But yeah, he has actual shoulder problems.
So his made more sense than Roode's. Roode's was okay, and because it was first, I gave it a pass versus Orton's. I didn't give a pass. Is Bobby Roode missing something? Because I find like the first 3 to 5 minutes of his matches really, really methodical. Like, it really reminds me of Triple H. Triple H was always methodical early on. And then he turned it up. Is Bobby Roode doing the same thing?
It seems like it. He's like a 80s, maybe 90s style heel.
Yeah, I mean, he would have been a world champ in 1989 or 1991. You know, he would have been a world champ. Absolutely. If Hogan would put him over.
Yeah, that would happen. Definitely.
Fucking Hogan. I don't know. Like,
he is.
What do you do with Hideo? Or
keep him in NXT. I would say he is definitely missing something, though, because, I mean, his matches with Nakamura weren't that great.
Right. His matches with Nakamura weren't that great, and... It feels like they want to groom him to be at least a mid-card champion and possibly, you know, upper card. And he's not going to reach that right now the way he's doing it, right?
Right. He's like maybe 20 years too late the way he's doing it.
Unfortunately, yeah. Do you see Roode making the jump up by the end of the year? Or do you see him staying down and helping NXT more?
I think he'll be up at some point due to injuries or something. He'll be called up probably after he loses the belt to whoever is the next in line. Not Kenta, though, unfortunately.
Yeah. If you could book it, who would you book as the next champion, the guy to take it off Roode?
It's tough because right now they don't really have anyone they're pushing. Kenta had his chance. Cassius Ono had a good match with Roode. I would say probably McIntyre.
Yeah, Drew's my pick too, because I honestly, I don't want Drew to get the belt because Drew's ready for main roster. Right now, he is firing on all cylinders and has been for about 2 years now. He's as ready as he's going to be. I'd rather him be up on the main roster before he gets injured or something.
Yeah, I think if you've been in TNA, you have a good chance of just going straight to the right main roster. Because it's pretty similar. They've been on TV. You know, it's pretty much from the same people. They know stuff like that. So they don't need that much help into the style.
Right. Do you think they could possibly do an EY and Bobby Roode feud, or would that basically force one of them to turn face?
I mean, they could do it. They'd have to make EY face, probably. I, from what I've seen in Impact or TNA, I think he was a better face anyways than a heel.
Yes, he was.
So that, I mean, that may be better fit for him.
I
mean, right?
But I like Sandy so much right now that I don't want to see him go face.
They just need to do something with the other two guys. Like that big guy and that guy who does the hardcore mosh pit stuff.
So you got Alexander Wolf and Damo, Killian, Dane, whatever the fuck they want to call him. Damo, I think, is he's going to get called up at some point because they already put him in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. That tells me that they got their eye on him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big guy. He'll get called up, no problem.
And get buried.
Most likely, yes.
Rusev will introduce him to the shovel, and, you know, he'll be fine. The match was really good. I don't know. As much as the first bit of the match wasn't good, I liked how it snowballed into a really good ending, I thought.
Yeah, it finished strong. It was just the beginning was the problem.
With Tommy, do you ever see him making the main roster and making an impact? Or did... I mean, Shinsuke basically came in and stole, like, the whole Japanese vibe. Is Itami ever going to be able to reclaim what was his? Are they eventually going to turn him heel and go against Shinsuke? What do you see with him?
His injuries kind of ruined his chances, I think. But there's still that whole thing about who hit him in the parking lot. So.
Oh, yeah.
They have an angle there. At least they have to figure out who they want to be the guy that did it.
Please be Rikishi.
That would be awesome.
That would be amazing. Yeah, I don't know if Hideo's ever going to make it out of the NXT. To be perfectly honest, I could see him getting frustrated being down there and being hurt so much and just wanting to go back to Japan.
He could be a heel, maybe.
Well, I think heel Itami versus face Shinsuke, like Itami turning on Shinsuke like out of jealousy and stuff, I think that would work really well. The only problem is, how the fuck are they going to do promos to make it seem...
They, you know what I mean?
It's going
to
be tough.
They need Paul Heyman in that one.
Yes, they do. I'm frustrated by the lack of managers.
Have Steve Corino in the NXT. Have him be a manager.
What the fuck is James Mitchell doing with himself?
I have no idea. He should bring Mortis back, though.
Oh, God. That would... Wait. Mortis is dead.
Oh, shit. That's right. Who's the other one? Mortis and...
Glacier and Wrath.
Oh, that's right.
Wrath is dead.
Oh, well, forget that then.
Yeah, the whole... Glacier, you really need to be watching out, buddy. Because that went badly.
I think Ernest Catmull is still alive, too, though, so...
Well, so I better call his mama. I love the cat. Is he still working for WWE, or... I thought he was for a bit, at least.
I haven't heard anything about him in a long time, so I don't know.
I still find it weird that Norman Smiley is, like, one of their top trainers.
The big like, wiggle.
The big fucking wiggle. Like, that's crazy that he is... I don't know. When I watched Norman, I never once thought, there's a guy that I think should be a trainer. Never once considered.
Yeah, it's amazing the people they have back down there training. And Road Dog's like a road agent, which is like shocking.
Well, isn't Road Dog basically like the lead guy for SmackDown now?
I think probably, yeah.
That in and of itself, and yet Billy Gunn can't get rehired. I don't get that at all.
Wasn't he caught with like steroids or something?
Yeah, because he's doing those, like, Mr. Universe-type competitions, like the bodybuilding stuff. So, yeah, he was nabbed for that, but he's not an active wrestler, so what the fuck does it matter?
That's a good point, because if you're an active wrestler, Triple H wouldn't be able to wrestle.
Right.
In the Rock.
So, I just don't see why you can't be a trainer... And if you're taking it for a reason that's outside of the wrestling business, I just don't see... It's not setting a good example, by no means. But I don't see the harm in it.
It's politics. That's fucking all it politics. Is.
I'm just going to blame Donald Trump like everybody else and just move on, because that's just the most cliche thing to do nowadays.
Yep.
Finally, we had the main event with the tag team ladder match. Did it surprise you that that got the main event slot?
Yeah, but the aftermatch stuff kind of is why.
Yeah, I mean, it was obvious that something was going down at the end. Now, for me personally, after Authors of Pain walked away, I had the sense that Gargano and Ciampa were getting like their call up. I thought that was like their curtain call for NXT, because they kept lingering and lingering. And I was like, they're not going to debut a new team, I don't think, because that's how Authors of Pain, I think, debuted, was attacking DIY. I didn't see the heel turn. I really didn't. I'm happy that I didn't. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be, well, this is the last match, go on to the main roster to be jobbers to parties or something.
Like, do you think they'll actually go main roster, or do you think they'll go 205?
That's a tough one. After the feud ends, probably 205.
I could see that. I could see the feud going right on into 205.
Like a Owen Zane thing? Just fighting all the time, nonstop?
Yep. I mean, well, shit. Who's next for KO? Probably Sami Zayn.
Rusev.
No, Rusev versus Ginger. Come on now.
Ooh, two foreigners.
Yeah, but they had a grudge right before the injury.
That's true.
So
that's right.
Getting back to the match, since we have plenty to talk about with Ginger. Regarding the match, had the UK Championship not happened, this would have been the best match on the of the night by far, right?
Even though the ladders are like 6 feet tall, and Gargano and Ciampa, I could have jumped and grabbed the belts. It was the best match, other than the UK match.
Do you think, are Authors of Pain legit, or are they only looking good because they've been working with the Revival and DIY?
I think they're still really young, and it's helped a lot when they've been Revival and DIY. It'll be interesting to see when they fight Heavy Machinery, how good they look.
I am so psyched for that matchup. I can't resist how excited I am for that fucking matchup. It'll be great.
I know, it's like money, you're in all over it.
That will never main event an NXT card ever.
I think it should.
I'm fine with it. I liked the little nuance where Paul Ellering got hit and like both guys went out and checked on him. Because they're heels, and you don't normally see that all the time. So I like that little nuance.
I thought maybe once he got knocked out, like, it would throw them off the game without Paul telling them what to do, and they would lose. Luckily, they didn't, though. So that made me happy.
All right. And let's talk about that fucking shot that Gargano took.
That one was amazing.
Face.
I'm surprised he has his teeth.
I've watched it, like, four times. The only thing I think of is maybe he took it on the chin and not the actual mouth.
I think he timed that just right, because he would have been dead if he didn't.
It was the most brutal shot I've seen in a long time. I was very impressed and terrified.
I'm surprised he allowed it. I mean, they try to avoid hitting people in the face with stuff these days.
We can't do the punt, but we can have two fucking 300-pounders ram a ladder on a guy's face, and that's fine.
Perfectly fine. Yep.
I liked all the things that, I don't know, the match told a story, it worked really well, a lot of it wasn't a complete spot fest, which is something, ladder matches have become complete spot fest without telling a real story. This one I felt told a real good story.
Well, I think most ladder matches now are just Money in the Bank, which is just five Venom guys in a ring, so they can't really have any story to tell.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we rarely... Well, we got The Miz versus Dolph last December. That That worked, but yeah, you're right. We don't get many ladder matches.
And NXT is pretty good about story wise, so.
Yeah, I agree. The attack afterwards, really well done. I really liked the final spot. I loved seeing Ciampa on the desk, just looking down. That whole thing was great, right?
Yeah, it was like a great ending to it. Totally unexpected. Although they probably shouldn't show people laughing in the crowd after it. But
yeah, they probably should not have done that. I concur. But there was a lot of things going on in that crowd. Like the guy in the Sam Crow Sons of Anarchy hoodie. And then I noticed during NXT at the very least, I definitely saw somebody with a Black Lives Matter shirt. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm going to wear when I go to wrestling. A Black Lives Matter shirt.
Hey, just gotta make your stand.
Gotta make your stand at WWE, man. Fucking people. Do you have any final thoughts on this before we switch gears and go to the Backlash?
The whole thing was saved by the UK tournament people.
Yeah, without it, it would have felt very reminiscent of last year's. It was NXT TakeOver, and it was in June, I think, or late May. And it had one great match. It had the Shinsuke versus Austin Aries match, which got no love all fucking year, but that match was great. The rest of the card was meh. But I have to give props to Shinsuke and Aries for that match. All right, so we had Backlash presented to us by Rocket League. I have to make a comment because I don't... Have you ever played Rocket League?
Yeah, it was free on the network, on the PS network, probably last year. So I played it a bit. I got tired of it and stopped. But
I love the hell out of the game. I've played it. I've probably played close to 100 seasons because, I mean, it's only 20 game seasons. You get through a season a night. I've played a ton of it. And then I saw the commercial. At first I was like, oh, that's pretty funny, like the car blocking the goal. And then they're showing this in-game footage of cars doing like vertical flips in the air and scoring. I can tell you, you don't see that in any match. That was such an unrealistic bullshit commercial to make you think you could do all sorts of things that, unless you were probably like one of the top 10 players, you're not going to do that shit ever.
Yeah, from what I saw when I played it, I never came anywhere close to that.
I mean, there are some people that can do a lot of stuff in the air, but your rocket, your boost or whatever is finite, and then you have to get more of it. So you have to pull off a lot of shit in such a little time to pull off anything close to that. I don't know, frustrated me, because loved the game, but that commercial really... I showed it to my buddy who I play Rocket League with, and he was just like, yep, that's bullshit. So, that's my thought on Rocket League. We had the kickoff show. We had Aiden English versus Ty Dillinger. Do you think they're ever going to do anything? Are they actually doing something with Aiden English? Does this count as doing something or no?
It's got to build up to something, doesn't it? I mean, other than saying he's at a man because he has breakdowns in the ring.
I want Aiden English to be U.S. champion, you know, sometime. I like Aiden English an awful lot, and I think he's missing, like, that one piece to the puzzle before he's there.
He needs his mother-in-law in his corner.
Yeah, I agree. I think they just brought in his wife and they started a new Guerrero regime. I think that would work wonders for him. It'd be a great story. I thought by losing Gotch that he was going to be set free, and instead they've given him a gimmick where he cries.
Boy, he's you know, he's in the arts. That's what they do, apparently.
Who said that? JBL, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. God damn it, that was a brilliant line. Oh, classy, JBL. Classy. Where do you think this feud continues? Do you think they move on? Like, it's tough during the summer because you don't know whether they're going to keep going until, right before SummerSlam, or they're building up to SummerSlam. I don't know. Where do you think Ty Dillinger's going?
I think it continues just because what else are they going to do, those two guys?
I think Ty Dillinger's going to be in the Money in the Bank match.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be a throw-in.
Are they doing two of those for each brand?
They have to.
So then, yeah, he'll be in that probably.
And just let you know, I have it on good authority that the Raw one will be historic and the first time ever because it'll be for the Universal belt.
What if it was the women's?
I think there should be a women's Money in the Bank. I've been saying that for a while now. I think there should be a women's Money in the Bank, and I think there should be a women's Royal Rumble.
And
they are dropping the ball.
In a chamber match.
Oh, Charlotte doesn't have a good enough feud yet for them to put her in it, because you know damn well it's only going to be Charlotte, because she's the only woman that counts.
Well, she's feuding with the welcoming committee, and then she can turn on the faces. Maybe.
I fast forward through every Charlotte match I can. I can't stand watching her perform. I think she's one of the... She is the single most overrated wrestler today. There, I
but
said
she's a flair.
It. But she's a flair, and she says woo, and when she's cutting a promo to show that she's serious, she gets slightly louder. She adds no emotion. She just raises
she's
her voice. It's so cringeworthy. She is so fucking bad, and she gets so much praise, and I don't get it.
I think it's because in comparison to the other women, she's pretty damn good, except for Alexa, who's miles,
I was gonna
miles
say
above
Alexa.
Everybody.
There's Alexa... There's Emma. I'd say Sasha is heel. I think Naomi's better. Naomi snatching bitches bald. That's a better promo already than anything Charlotte's ever said
yeah.
in her life.
Naomi, yeah.
James Ellsworth, better than Charlotte.
That's what I doubt.
Carmella. I think Carmella's going to be the breakout
Carmella's
star on SmackDown.
Since he dropped that fake jersey accent.
I don't know, something about her and Ellsworth, like, I feel this is where Ellsworth was meant to be. I love it.
Do you think they could be the reverse Macho Man and Elizabeth?
Oh, man. I'm fine with that. It'd be interesting, but at some point, wouldn't they have to drag Big Cass into that?
They could. I mean, what's he gonna do with Enzo?
Alright. We're on a tangent enough as it is, so I may as well keep going here. I think Enzo and Cass are getting a heel turn. Everything the past 2 months has indicated Enzo running his mouth so much that he gets, like, bro-kicked or hit upside the head, and the crowd's cheering for it. I think they're going heel
soon. Do you think it's heel turn or splitting him up?
I think it's heel turn. There's nothing to be gained by splitting them up, because Big Cass right now... He's not as overrated as Charlotte, but he is damn close. The dude cannot wrestle a good one-on-one match. He has minimal mic abilities. He's very overrated, and they need to start giving him something to work towards. But in the meantime, I say just turn them heel and unleash them.
Might as well. I mean, they're floundering now as faces, so... Maybe let Enzo do a promo that's not... scripted.
Oh, really? Let somebody do it? No. No.
They can't be trusted.
Unless you're Chris Jericho or Triple H or The Rock, you cannot be trusted.
Which is a shame.
Although, I don't know. Once again, I'm jumping the gun here, but did you watch Talking Smack?
Yes, I did.
Kevin Owens was brilliant last night in the most awkward way possible.
He's always so good on that. He should be every week he should be on there.
If we get him and Eric Rowan on every week, sold. 100% sold.
That would be interesting. They should be the host.
Rowan was so fucking funny this past... it was last week, right?
Yeah, it was last week. And then on the pre-show, he did some stuff.
God, I don't know. I was laughing really, really hard during that, and good for him. I don't know. I don't think Enzo and Cass are selling enough merchandise anymore because they're pushed so bad. So cut your losses. Make them heel. They'll get over with catchphrases eventually, just like Jericho always does, and then you can turn them face again. Hopefully by then you've had them, you know, get over whatever in-ring hump they have, because they're not good in-ring, either guy.
Being heel helped the Usos out a lot.
Incredible, because do you think that they've been allowed to script some of their promos? Because I feel that they've been scripting some of it.
I assume so, yeah.
It sounds natural to me, which tells me that they have a big hand.
Right. That's a big tip off. That's probably not some writer just going to hear read this.
Which also tells me that I think Breezango's promos have also been pretty much crafted by them, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, maybe SmackDown's more of a hands-off.
Land
hands
of
off
opportunity.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to Ty and Aiden. I don't know if there's anything left, but with Ty, do you think Ty's going to rise up to a mid-card belt? I feel Ty's going to get forgotten very quickly.
His gimmick is going to eventually lose its novelty. And then, what do you have?
You have a small Canadian dude who's adequate on the mic and good in ring. I don't want to say very good, but he's pretty good in the ring. I think he can improve, though. I don't know how much he can improve.
I don't think
but
he can.
He's improved.
I think he's been in a development for, like, what, 15 years? And this is the best he's got?
It feels that way.
I don't think there's much room for improvement with him.
I don't know what it was, if I read it or saw it, like, his story about how, like, he ended up, like, living with Eric Young. It was interesting, like, he ended up, like, sleeping in the same room as Eric Young for I don't even know how many months or maybe even years. It was interesting, though.
Maybe he can go back to sanity.
yeah, they could use a younger guy who can go. I mean, Eric Young can go. There's no doubt, but at some point, Eric Young, he's not young by any means.
He's no spring
anymore.
Chicken.
He's no Mae Young, that's for sure.
No one is.
Nobody is. All right, let's move on to the main card, which start off with Shinsuke versus Dolph. Was this the right match to kick off the show, and what'd you think?
Yeah, it was. For what it was totally overhyped for Shinsuke's debut. It was like, this is another WWE match. Here you go.
I admit I really liked the match. I even gave it a 7.5. My biggest gripe is I'm struggling with Dolph Ziggler matches because they've taken away the effectiveness of every last one of his finishers. He needs a new finisher and he needs to win with that new finisher. Like if it gets blocked, that's fine, but if he hits the finisher, he needs to win with it for like 6, 9, 12 months. He needs to be able to win with one finisher, and these other things can be set up. I did not believe for 1 second Dolph was going to win using the Famouser, the Zigzag, the Sleeper Hold, and I don't even know what other moves he has.
What do you mean? The Sleeper Hold's a massive finisher.
Ted DiBiase is at home nodding his head.
But his was a modified Sleeper, though. It wasn't.
Yeah, that's true. Brutus Bar Beefcake, who probably does listen to this because he's a bomb.
That would be amazing if you get him on your show.
I couldn't handle it. I'd be such a mean dick to him because I just don't like the guy.
You talk about his parasailing accident or whatever it was that ruined his face?
Oh, when he had the metal plates, yeah. I'd be like, so how many gimmicks did you have in WCW? Do you know the actual number? Did you know that he main evented a Starrcade against Hogan?
I did not.
It was like 1994, 95. He main evented as the Butcher or Zodiac. I can't remember which.
Probably the Zodiac.
And yeah, that was a main event of a Starrcade.
That wasn't that cage match, was it? Where they had to go down from the top down?
No, that was an uncensored pay-per-view. This is a straight-up one-on-one, awful, awful match.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, I mean, he can at least be like, yep, I wrestle a main event, brother. How do you fix Ziggler? Ziggler's such a great guy in ring, but he's like on this hopeless treadmill of mediocrity. Is there any way to save him at this point?
Have him wrestle as either a heel or a face, depending on what he actually is. I feel like last night was like a face match with him. Like, he didn't really heal up at all. He was like, another match. There it is.
I felt really bad for him. He tried his best. He gave Shinsuke the best match he was capable of. All that stuff, but at the end, there was something that was my major gripe, is that you could never see Dolph winning, and I think Dolph winning would have been absolutely phenomenal, quite frankly. If you have cheated to win, pissed the crowd off right from the get-go, and made that feud matter.
Right. I mean, he could have stole a win, keep Shinsuke strong, and then...
Well, I'll tell you, I fantasy booked it that Dolph cheated to win, and then on SmackDown, they had a match where... They had a rematch where the winner would get into the Money in the Bank match. Shinsuke wins, and that Money in the Bank, Dolph comes out and costs Shinsuke the briefcase. That keeps that feud alive and going, and actually isn't a bad storyline.
That is pretty good. It won't happen, but it's good.
Yeah, well, of course it's not going to happen, but... It was 1994, Starrcade.
I felt
the need to tell you this. And, yeah, that's, wow, it's incredible. He was the Butcher.
I thought it was Shrebby Zodiac. Yeah. Huh.
He became the Zodiac, wait, no, then he became the Man with No Name, then he became the Zodiac, then he became the Booty Man.
Oh, that was a good gimmick.
And then he was the Disciple. Yeah. Wow. Good for you, Ed Leslie. You're out there somewhere.
Hopefully listening in.
Oh my god. Shit. Alright, any other thoughts on the Dolph Shinsuke? I don't know. It happened, I liked it, but I didn't love it.
It definitely is not one of Shinsuke's best matches. And I think we might be saying that a lot on SmackDown and in the future.
Shinsuke's hype is about to hit a really bad note because he does not have the ability that AJ Styles does to make a great match with anybody. Shinsuke needs good workers. Now, Shinsuke will stay popular as ever as long as he keeps this whole rock star thing going and the crowd fucking does his song. He'll remain on top. But I think we're getting more Finn Balor and less AJ Styles and Shinsuke on the main roster. Right?
From last night, I would say that's pretty adequate, yeah.
Do you think they'll ever give a Shinsuke versus Lesnar? I mean, they've brought it up, that's happened. Do you think they would ever go through with it?
Well, you would have Paul Heyman hyping it, which is a plus.
And only Heyman, because what the fuck's Shinsuke going to say?
He'll just convulse in the corner and close one eye.
Yeah, I mean, I would try to do an impersonation, but it'd be awfully racist and stereotypical, so I'm, you know, just imagine that, and that's exactly how that impersonation
when
would
I go. First saw him, I was like, is he having a stroke? What's going on with him?
Yeah, he is such a...
People like it, though. People
unique.
Like it, so...
Yeah. I like it, it's just... I don't know, I think... I fear him getting stale and having bad opponents sooner than later. Now, granted, on SmackDown, he has a ton to work with. If he can work with an Orton who is motivated, Cena, Owens, Corbin, AJ, that's like 2 years worth of rivalries right there.
And then he can have Zayn somehow, goes heel maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty to work with, whether they do it or not.
I just can't wait for him and Roman Reigns.
Oh... God, Shinsuke's going down.
The King of Strong style against the Big Dog.
Honestly, I'm just waiting for Samoa Joe versus Roman. Like, you have the Battle of the Samoan Badasses. How has this not happened yet?
Because you get to...
Oh, wait. Nobody cares about
Joe.
Yeah,
I know. In the five-man feud, he's the one that no one cares about.
Well, I mean, it's historic in the way that nobody cares about him, so good for them. Let's move on to the Usos beating Breeze Dango. Admit it, you laughed a little bit.
It was probably too much comedy for me, I think, for a heavyweight title match and a tag team match on a pay-per-view. But yeah, it was funny, although it should have been a DQ when the mop was used.
Yeah, the mop should never have been allowed to be used. And that's one of two major reffing comments, but I'll get to the last one in the main event. Because there's a big point where I'm just like, are you shitting me? But it was funny, and once it became so silly, I was like, there's no way in hell Breeze Dango is going to win this. I went in 50-50. I was very split on who was winning. And as soon as I saw it go too over the top funny, I was like, nope. Although, Tyler on the mat rolling to avoid the Usos' top rope move was fucking gold.
That was brilliant. Like, why don't we see that more often? This just makes so much sense.
It was brilliant, yeah.
And Finn Dango telling him what way to go.
Yes. Do you think that this feud continues? And is there a way for Breeze Dango to come out of this feud still riding a high without the belts? Or if they don't win the belts, are they going back to mediocrity?
I would say it's going to continue until New Day comes back. And maybe New Day, Fandango and Breeze can be a feud. I think they can do some funny stuff together.
Why are they holding off on New Day? I know Kofi's hurt, but wouldn't that make for a better story that Kofi's hurt and when he comes back they could finally do the split? Because maybe Big E didn't call him enough or check in on him enough or something like that. Or I think Xavier's the best one to split from the group, but it could be either him or
maybe
Big E.
Xavier's busy doing his was it Rocket League championship he's going to enter or whatever?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Paige.
No, that's... I don't think WWE allows that.
I don't know, they got into a fight, I heard, like a week ago, so...
And they both still alive. That's amazing.
Maybe that pedro Xavier, he got away with something.
Could be.
I don't know, I don't see any reason to not have New Day back. It seems like it's the easiest way to break up the group, as a matter of fact, is to bring them back now while Kofi's still nursing an injury and do an angle about Kofi's injury and have somebody split from the group. Isn't that the easier way to do the break?
Are they putting it off? See how they do on SmackDown before they break them up?
I mean, really, what can they do on SmackDown that we haven't already seen? I feel New Day's accomplished everything that they're capable of accomplishing. Like, and it's not, I'm not like bashing them. They did a great job. They had a hell of a run. But I don't, what more is there left for them?
They can be put number one on the Fashion Police's worst stress list.
Because they're booty?
They're booty.
Can we get Big Boss Man pictures more often?
Yes, we need that.
My God, those... And I'm really worried that they're going to overkill those videos. And I don't know if the solution is to do them like every other week or to just drive it into the ground for all it's worth until like 2 months down the road, we're like, yep, I'm sick of this. What's the better way to go?
I think we both know what they're going to do with this.
We both know what they're going to do, but what would you do?
I would not do it every week. Comedy in wrestling is better, I think, in small doses. And not left up to the writers to do.
I agree with that, and I don't think it should be a weekly thing by the same act. I'm okay if there's something funny happening every week, because it's a 3- and 2-hour long show. If they want to do something that makes you chuckle, backstage segment or something in a promo or something, I'm fine with that, but it should not be the same act week after week trying to do it, because Endzone Cast say hello, New Day say hello, Santino Marella says hello from fucking Italy. I don't know. Is he really from Italy?
I don't believe he was, no.
Okay, well, then that just made me look like a fool. Fuck you, Santino. Fuck you. But, you know, just do stuff every other week. I don't understand what their obsession is with driving things into the ground.
Because
it never works.
Catchphrases sell t-shirts.
Yeah, until you've killed it, and now you... I really don't know how many end zone cast merchandise I see anymore. Because they buried that so fast. Unbelievably fast.
Cup of Haters shirt is still selling?
It could be. Unfortunately.
Or the Enzo headgear thing?
Oh, that thing was atrocious as fuck. Oh, so bad. Yeah, I don't know. I want Breeze Dango to be champions.
They should be at some point, I think, but who knows.
The Usos right now, if they're given the ball, let them lose and let them carry a feud. The Usos are more capable of carrying a feud right now without the belts than Breeze Dango is, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The Usos are gold. I still think they should have different music, though.
Yeah, they shouldn't. Yeah. They should also have Naomi in the corner, too.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't want to see them coming out to Natural Born Killers, although I kind of do, but...
Money for that.
Like, do something with a more of an edge to it. Whether it be a hip-hop song or just something with more of an edge. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, it fits them better as a heel to have like an edgier song.
Right.
Go on. I don't know what it would be, though, but...
In all honesty, WWE hits the mark at least 80% of the time with music.
Yeah, Jim Johnson's pretty good.
Very good.
The other guy they pawn stuff off to, I forgot it was, a group or something.
This CEO
yeah,
thing?
Something
SEO,
like that. CEO
yeah.
Money or something like that. Dollar sign. Or
yeah. Yep. They did a ton of great songs for them, actually. Unfortunately, the dude that did like the DX songs dead. He did a few of their songs.
Yep, he's dead. Lemmy's dead, so no more Triple H songs.
No more drunk Lemmy at WrestleMania. I swear to God, that may still be my greatest WrestleMania moment, was Lemmy doing the live performance. It's either that or Benoit and Eddie hugging. Those are my two top WrestleMania moments. I don't know. Let's talk about Sammy versus Corbin. Russ had this as his favorite match of the night. I rewatched it today. I think it's a good match. I gave it a 6.4, and even upon a second viewing, I wouldn't go up much more than maybe a 6.7. It was good. It was unexpectedly good, because I didn't think Corbin and Sammy were going to have chemistry. But at the end of the day, I can't put that ahead of the Dolph Shinsuke or the AJ Owens. I know you're a big Sammy fan, so tell me what I'm missing.
What really helps is Sammy selling the back for like the entire time, because almost no one sells anything.
You're right. Selling is a lost art that only Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, and Sami Zayn appeared capable of doing this weekend.
And it continues the feud, probably into Money in the Bank. So it has that going for it too.
Do you think they'll both be? They should both be in the ladder match itself, right?
Yes, they should both be in the ladder match, and Corbin should win it.
Corbin should win it. No doubt in my mind, but I talked myself into this last night. I talked myself into Sammy winning it.
I think it fits with both. Sami Zayn being the underdog, needing the Money in the Bank to get a match. Also, Corbin saying he never gets a shot from Shane and Daniel Bryan at every single talking smack he's on.
Like, I feel that Corbin, no matter what, is going to get... He can be put... He's been in main events quite a bit on SmackDown the past few months. He's capable of getting that shot. Sammy is... But he really hasn't been utilized that well yet. So, I don't know. I talked myself into Sammy getting it, and I would love to see it. I'd love to see AJ Styles get the belt back, and I'd love to see Sami Zayn versus AJ Styles, because that's a match I've been craving for a long time.
You don't want to see a Canadian Muslim against a Canadian Indian Sikh?
To quote AJ Styles' song, no, I don't want none.
Well, there you go.
But, yeah, we'll get to that. It was a really good match, and I gotta give props because as much as I like Braun really has improved significantly. Showing what we've seen with Braun versus Sammy and then Sammy versus Baron just shows me how far ahead of the curve Baron is compared to Braun.
Yeah.
Baron is almost a complete wrestler and he keeps improving, which is awesome as hell. Like, I don't know about you, but I've seen significant improvement since the main roster call-up.
I think it helps when he's working with AJ Styles and, you know, Sammy.
Sammy, I mean, he started off with Dolph, had some lackluster matches, but I think he learned a lot from Dolph.
He's also more of an athlete, I think, than Braun. He was a football player. Braun was just a bodybuilder?
Braun was a bodybuilder who chopped wood, yes.
So... I think he takes it more than that because he's an athlete compared to Braun.
I really like the match. I want to see more of these two against each other because if they have a proper feud and it builds up to a gimmick match of some kind, it could really be a match of the night candidate for me.
It's a shame that the gimmick pay-per-view is Raw.
Yeah, Extreme Rules, of course. Do you think... Battleground or Great Ball... Wait, Great Balls of Fire is Raw. Does that mean Battleground, if Battleground's still around, will that be SmackDown?
Possibly. Or do they do two Extreme Rules?
Oh, Lord.
Two roadblocks.
Fuck. I mean, did you know that you're coming back on this in 2 weeks? I didn't even know that until
Shockingly,
last night.
I did, yes. I saw that last night.
Yeah. I was like, for fuck's sakes, I'm going to be bothering Steve a lot the next 2 weeks.
Just nonstop.
I don't know. What would be your dream scenario gimmick match, and who would you have go over between these two?
That is a tough one. I don't want to see a stairs match. I think it would have to be for the belt. Maybe a ladder match.
How would you feel? I think I'd love to see, because of how Corbin is and how Sammy's portrayed, I think it makes for a perfect last man standing. Baron being the big bully, Sammy being the underdog, never give up type thing. Wouldn't that be a good dynamic
kinda
for those
like
two?
Kind of like the Braun Strowman-Sami Zayn match?
No, because we're not going to involve fucking Mick Foley. We're not going to do fuck Raw, okay? Raw just doesn't exist in my world. It doesn't, because it's all shit.
Alexa Bliss is on Raw. It exists.
Alexa's ass does exist. Every day for me. Every day. God damn, she is something to behold.
Well,
who's nailing her? It's Buddy Murphy,
two,
right?
Jake Murphy, one of those two.
I think it's Buddy Murphy. How the hell did one of those guys... if you look at them, neither one appears to be like an attractive dude. How the hell did they manage that?
It's on the inside that counts.
Yeah, but, I mean, I got fatty tumors just like everybody else. Why don't I get a chick like Alexa?
That's true. I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a tough call. I don't know. Some guy is just lucky, I guess.
I blame the ginger hair, because I don't have the ginger hair, and you ginger fucks get all the bitches.
That's a possibility.
Oh, shit. Alright, so, like, the first half of the pay-per-view, surprisingly, that all happened, like, in the first hour, those matches. And then we come to a match that... If you had to make one comment about the women's match, what would your comment be, Steve? Because I'm wondering if it's the same thing.
it existed.
That it did. Do you have any other comments about it? Because there was something that was so glaringly awful.
I'm trying to think what it was. There was so much that I could consider.
Well, if I narrow it down to hair, does that help you?
No. Did I watch the match?
I don't think so. Like, are you not familiar with how bad Becky's hair was?
Block it out?
All right, oh, God damn it, Steve.
I think he's going for that girl from that video game look.
I don't know which video game you're talking
Horizon
about.
Horizon Zero Dawn?
Jesus
I Christ. Think.
I can't even keep
it's up. Like an open world thing where, like, this girl kills robot dinosaurs and stuff. I don't know. I haven't played it yet.
Whatever. It looked bad. I felt bad. She should feel bad for having made me feel bad. I also want to give major props to Naomi because her outfit was awful as hell, like blindingly bad. And you'll appreciate this. Is it safe to assume you saw the Charlotte nude photos?
I am avoiding those.
Why is that?
Because Charlotte is not someone I want to see naked.
Well, being the filthy whoremonger that I am, I of course did look. Actually, I looked. I talked to Russ about it. He was very giddy about seeing it, to which I said, "Whoa, buddy, this is not nearly as impressive as whatever you think it is." And it wasn't. She's a very athletic, fit girl. But, and now that I've seen her nude, I can safely say that her ring attire needs to be changed. It does not suit her body properly, especially the top. That little V thing that comes down, you know, the lower portion of it on the front, looks really bad. She has really good abs.
Of course she does. She was a gymnast for God knows how long.
Well, wouldn't you do something to exemplify them? Like, I think that point draws way too much attention away from her body. I don't want to slut her up or anything. I'm just saying her body is so fucking built. So, you know, as you said, she's a gymnast. She's very athletic. I just feel that she could have attire that would fit her so much better and make her look like $1 million. Her attire right now does not do that.
But could it look like Ric Flair's attire at some point?
Are we talking about saggy skin, overly tan Ric Flair?
Well, that'd be Ric Flair the last 30 years, so yeah.
Woo! Oh, God, yeah. I mean, let's just go with the bikini bottom thing and no top, and it still wouldn't... No. I don't know. I'm going to throw this in. This week on Are You Not Entertained for the Wednesday edition, we're going to do a fashion thing. And in hindsight, I'm like, Jesus Christ, it feels like we're stealing from the fashion police. But I really just wanted to comment on like what's hot and what's not type thing. And so I probably shouldn't waste too much time here on fashion. But I do want to say I liked Tamina's attire. And I sit there and I'm like, why couldn't they have done something like that for Nia Jax?
Because Nia Jax wants to go with the Star Trek alien type look. I don't know.
She's not like most girls.
She isn't.
So, yeah, you don't remember the match that much. When I wrote my review today, I had to look up to see who won the match. I really didn't remember
who
won the match.
I know Natalya made Becky tap out.
Really?
Yeah, because apparently it's the Hart family sharpshooter. And Natalya is not related to Jim Neidhart at all.
Wait, Natalya
oh, yeah,
is? Natalya,
yeah, well, also, WWE-wise, you know, no one ever mentions Jim Neidhart at all.
Oh, right, like, nobody ever mentions that. Now, Jim married one of the Hart sisters, though,
yes.
Right? So Natalya technically is a Hart.
Yeah, she's a niece of Brett, I think.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, she's he's part of the family, but no one mentions the fact that Neidhart is her father. It's always Brett this, Brett that.
Can we point out that Jim the Anvil Neidhart on the Roderick Strong vignette was awesome as hell to see?
Oh, yeah, that's right. He trained the father in him, right? Yeah.
Yeah, like, I was like, holy shit, seeing the Anvil. And then I'm like, wait, did Roderick ever know Natalia growing up? Doesn't that seem like a plausible thing?
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, since Tyson Kidd's probably out for the rest of his life, I mean, maybe there's an opportunity for her to manage Roderick down the road.
What if Naomi against Natalia, they have Rikishi in one corner and the Anvil in the other?
Oh, no. I don't know who I'm cheering on other than the fans to say ridiculous things. Win. Yeah, the fans win. Do you have any thoughts on this match? Because I really don't, other than I couldn't help staring at Becky's hair and Naomi's ring gear. And the only other thing I can say is that it seemed like Carmella was there to break up damn near every pinfall, which was awesome.
Yeah, I got nothing else to say.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the worst match of the night, by far, the women's match. We follow that up with Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles. I have a major gripe with this match, but I want your take on it first.
Is your gripe the ending?
Yeah, pretty much. In my opinion, there was no... In my opinion, either guy could have lost cleanly and it wouldn't have hurt them. Especially, I would have had AJ lose cleanly. It wouldn't have hurt him after that great match.
They're both at the point in their careers already on WWE where they can take a loss to be fine.
I felt it was a bullshit cop-out thing, and that's why I had a huge gripe with trying to figure out which match I liked better between this match and the Ziggler match, and actually, I'm starting to lean more towards this match in hindsight.
I think this match was better. Except for the ending, obviously. And the thought process of AJ trying to do that anyways? Because you gotta win it in the ring. Why are you doing the Styles Clash outside on a table?
And the ref was already counting, was he not? Like, he was already at a four.
Yeah, he was
count.
Already counting, because they were both already out there. So, yeah.
And we all know he wasn't going to do the move on the table because the monitors were still there.
Not that one.
Not that one, but the other two were there. Frankly, I want to give props to both guys for the spot in which AJ looked like he was trying to hit the Styles Clash on the apron. I was like, holy shit, if they fuck this up, this is going to be bad.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That suplex on the apron was nice, too.
Alright, but wait, did you catch Kevin Owens' fucking acting performance after that? It was fan-fucking-tastic, and for those who don't know what I'm talking about, first he was... You know, holding his back, writhing in pain. Then he's writhing in pain from his elbow, and then he starts coughing over the top for no real reason. And it was all just like a thing of beauty on his part.
He's pretty good. It wasn't as good as Shawn Michaels or was selling everything against Hulk Hogan, though.
Against Hogan? Oh, that will be a match that can never be forgotten. Do you see more rematches in their future based on the ending?
Oh, there has to be at least one rematch.
Would you put these guys in Money in the Bank, or would you have them as a singles match and put other singles guys in Money in the Bank?
I would have... That's the next pay-per-view for them? Money in the Bank? So, I would have them do a singles match for the U.S. title.
Would you offer a stipulation, or would you keep it another straight match, or do like a no DQ, no count out? What would you do?
It seems like they're setting up something. Probably a no count out? But then, must have to be a no DQ, too.
Yeah, you can't do no count out, no DQ. I don't think that's been done.
Doesn't make any sense, really. Or maybe a lumberjack match? No, that wouldn't make any sense.
I want a Lumberjill match so KO can start groping bitches on the outside.
Go. Yeah.
We all win
that's
there.
That's good.
Oh, gosh.
You know what? I miss a good old strap match.
Weren't they leading up to a strap match somewhere on something and then it went nowhere? Like, didn't somebody start using a belt, or am I just completely making this shit up?
It may have been TNA. I don't
probably TNA then. God damn it. All right, so nothing on WWE. It had to be TNA. Somebody took off their belt and started using the belt, and I was like, oh my god, this is great.
Yeah, it was TNA.
Was it Storm?
Ethan Carter?
EC3 and was it James Storm?
Yeah, I read about it.
That was pretty good. Like, I enjoyed that little bit.
I
love a good old-fashioned strap match.
I think it just happened, too, didn't it? Like, last week or 2 weeks ago?
I'm, like, 3 weeks behind. I haven't seen Scott Steiner yet, if that tells you anything.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know when he shows up.
Yeah, me neither, but I fast-forward at 64 times normal, so I get through 64 seconds for every 1 second. And I get through most TNA in about 10, 15 minutes.
Not bad.
It works. Works for me. Going back to the AJ and Owens, I think a strap match would work. Would you do like the stupid ass strap match though, where you have to touch all four corners at the same, like one after the other? Because I hate
that
gimmick.
That's the only strap match that should exist.
Yeah. See, why can't there just be a strap match where you beat the shit out of somebody? Like, there's no other gimmick. You just get to beat the shit out of each other with a strap.
Like back in the 80s, there were. Like, in NWA, they had those kind of matches.
Like, bull rope matches and
yeah,
shit like that,
yeah,
right?
Those are pretty fun.
Dusty Rhodes had to have been at least 20.
Oh, yeah, he must have. The blood thing probably wouldn't happen, though.
Yeah, but you don't necessarily have to bloody... I mean, with the bull rope match, you have to bloody somebody, but in the leather or strap match, you don't have to bloody. You're just going to leave some bad welts.
Yeah, that's true.
It could work. Was this the match of the night for you?
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else... Yeah, it was...
Yeah, because there's no other candidates beyond this match.
I was trying to think, and then they're like, nope, not that one either. Yeah, so it definitely is.
Yeah, alright. Do you have any other comments before we move on?
No.
Alright. I do have one comment. I don't like Face AJ. I know Face AJ because I've seen Face AJ so much in TNA, and now that I've seen Heel AJ, I love Heel AJ. Even if he's just tweener AJ, I'm cool with it, but I don't like him trying to get the crowd riled up and like on his side because it does not work for me.
It's like Chris Jericho.
It is. I don't know. Grates on my nerves a little bit, but whatever. We followed that match up, unfortunately, with Luke Harper versus Eric Rowan, who had no chance in hell following that matchup properly.
I forgot that match again.
Luke got the win, which makes sense until you realize that Luke jobs all the time and still can get some kind of crowd reaction, and Rowan probably need the win to continue any momentum.
Apparently that ties him up at one match apiece. So
yeah.
We'll get one more match out of him at least.
Both guys in Money in the Bank?
No.
Really? I'd put
Harper maybe. I don't think Rowan's ready for that yet.
Hey, Rowan was good enough for that six-pack challenge match to determine number one winner, the number one contender that Jinder won.
That's true.
So was Mojo Rawley, though.
Small roster.
It was like a very injured roster, and people were tied up with other things. It was so bad. I don't really have much to say about this match. I love both guys. I want Rowan to keep on the path that he's on. He's adding moves. He's got a character now. If you could change one thing about Rowan, what would it be? Because I have an obvious one.
I like the gimmick that lasted for a week a long time ago, where they're like, did you know he makes his own wine and he does this and that? I want more of that.
Where he... Was that also around the time when he was, like, super intellectual?
Yeah, it was.
My biggest gripe, and I'd say of any, if any one person needs a music change, is fucking Eric Rowan. How are you supposed to get excited for the guy when he comes out to such weird ass music that doesn't, it doesn't fit his character in any way? He's weird too, but wouldn't you give him? Actually, Luke's song would work really well for Rowan. Obviously, they can't give him that anymore.
What if that last match is for that theme song?
Oh my god, I'd be fine with that.
I think
so. Yeah, it'd be first time ever. It'd be historical, and then Luke could get a better song.
Right. Yep.
It'd work. Because Luke, I don't know. I think Luke's too good for that song. Like, it doesn't fit him anymore, does it?
Well, his gimmick's still a swamp hillbilly, right? So,
I don't know what his gimmick is anymore, because they don't ever give him the fucking mic. Like, and they... Luke Harper was on top of the world in February and almost on the verge of being in the main event at WrestleMania, and I have no idea, like, he must have fucked somebody's mother or something. Because he's been treated so badly since the Battle Royal with him and AJ tying.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. But he definitely deserves maybe a shot at the U.S. title, at least.
And Luke Harper could be a great world champion with a few minor tweaks and some winning. The dude has all the freaking capabilities. He's what Vince looks for as far as he's a big guy. He's a big attraction, and he can do shit that no other big dude does.
And he has that great merchandise of a black tank top.
Hey, man, I was wearing Luke's merchandise earlier today. So
was it official Luke merchandise?
No, it came from, like, casual mail. I don't know, Harbor Bay, maybe? I don't know. Although Luke probably has to get his shirts big and tall.
I wonder what brand
he gets. I wonder if there's a way for me to contact Luke Harper to find out what brand.
Hanes like big and tall?
Hanes is very limited, although he's not a fat guy, so he may have better luck in getting a tall size.
Maybe he has a seamstress to make him.
Oh, that's a possibility, too. I wonder if Luke Harper's ever on Twitter. Now I have all sorts of questions.
Tweet him. What do you get your tank tops?
Like, that'd be like the most weird thing that somebody's probably ever asked him. But I'm curious. Do you have any other things to say about this match that was very unforgettable, unremarkable?
It was a good adjustment by Luke Harper at the end to go with a discus elbow instead of a clothesline, because the timing was a bit off.
And yet the announcers still called it a clothesline. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah,
that.
They probably weren't paying attention or just had that in their ear, so they had to. Because his finisher is a clothesline.
Yeah.
So you can't change it up.
It is. I like the elbow. The elbow worked better.
It reminded me of Tanaka. Yeah.
Yeah. I miss that dude. He's got to be retired by
now,
doesn't he?
Or brain dead.
God. Like, Do him and, like, Mike Awesome hang out, like, in a... Oh, wait,
they
Mike Awesome.
You never know.
Masato may see dead Mike Awesome in his dreams. Who knows? All right, let's talk about the thing that probably most fans are buzzing about today. The Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton match. Give me anything and everything you
I
got.
I am fine with the outcome. It shows that SmackDown really is the land of opportunity, as they want to say. Getting there was kind of weird because he didn't really do much to get it, other than he got his shot to get the belt in that six-man challenge, and he won it, which is, you know, all you need is a shot. The match itself wasn't that great, and Orton almost killed that one Indian guy.
That was going to be my main talking point. So, did the guy land on his head, his forehead? What the fuck did he land on?
I think it was his head. Maybe his neck.
Like
maybe
the top of his dome?
I don't know.
I felt so bad for that guy, and I've been looking all day for updates, and I haven't seen any updates saying that, you know, he got hurt or anything, so I guess he walked away.
Yeah, up afterwards, right?
In a God damn. Match? Yeah. You're right. Wait, did he?
I feel like they took the double DDT after that.
Oh, they might have.
Yeah, because after the DDT, Mahal hit him with the Cobra Clutch Slam and won it.
Okay. So, yeah, good for them. I mean, they took more hits than Ginger did.
Yeah.
Now, this was a gripe of mine. Why did the ref allow those guys to stay out there after they dragged Ginger out during a pinfall? Isn't it the ref's job to immediately send them to the back after that shit?
You would think so. Yeah, but then you can't have Orton almost kill him after later.
Right. Like, all right, so was this the best Orton you've seen in months?
Seeing how the last two pay-per-views were WrestleMania and the Haunted House match, yeah.
I liked that Orton looked vicious. He looked like he had intent. He actually looked motivated. I liked seeing a vicious side of Orton, which also tells me why Orton's always better as a heel than he is a face. Always.
Yeah, whenever he's motivated, he's good. As a heel, he's even better.
Does he lose all of his motivation once he becomes world champ? Because I swear, that happens every time.
Do you think it's because of the angles they give him with it as champion, or just because he's like, I got the belt, I don't care?
He's a 13-time or 14-time world champ at this point. For fuck's sakes, like, I could get it, a few of those runs not caring, but 13 or 14 times? It's got to be more to do with him than the angles, doesn't it?
Most likely.
I mean, like, his first run, where he took it off Benoit and feuded with Triple H and Batista, and he was a face, and it didn't really work, but it was actually a decent storyline.
Yeah, that was when he got thrown out of Evolution, right? Yeah.
Right, that was the thumbs down moment. I don't know. I like motivated Randy when he gets lazy, which it seems like he's been lazy and coasting actually since before WrestleMania, to be perfectly honest. I'd say probably since Royal Rumble or a little bit after that.
Yeah, it's been a while. Maybe he needs a break. I don't know.
Yeah, he could use like 2 weeks off and hit the gym every day just so he can maintain a good body shape. Because when he's in good shape, he's in great shape. But when he's not, it looks he's looking his age.
He can go to the gym and have fans bother him for pictures.
Oh my God, that'd be great! And then he can get on his phone and have a Twitter war with Bully Ray.
Yes, and talk about how the indie wrestlers suck.
Dive. Who the fuck is Rip Rogers?
He apparently is an indie wrestler, I think he is an Ohio Valley wrestling promoter or something.
I never heard of the guy until this Twitter thing happened.
Yeah, I haven't either. Whoever it is, Randy Orton follows him, apparently.
I found the whole thing hilarious. Like, that was some of the best stuff. That was better than anything Randy was doing actually in wrestling.
It was, yeah.
So, kudos to him. As you mentioned, it is the land of opportunity. Was Ginger the right guy, though, to give that opportunity? Because on the one hand, you have to look at that Ginger went and busted his ass and got into the best shape he could possibly
with
get
some
in.
Help.
And he did improve a little bit. Like, he has improved in ring a little bit. He got the ball, and he has done his best to run with it. But simultaneously, don't you sit there and think, what the fuck is Cesaro thinking, or Sami Zayn, or Rusev? Like, what's going through their minds when Ginder just leapfrogged all of them?
Yeah.
Are they happy for him, do you think?
I think they would be. Maybe it gives them hope that they will get a shot at some point.
I mean, I know Rusev's probably happy for him because him and Rusev worked together for a bit. I guess I more wonder about Cesaro and Sammy because out of guys that have long deserved titles, it's those two and Rusev, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. They've been longer. they're on Raw though most of the time, so.
Yeah, like Cesaro's never going to sniff that belt unless he goes to SmackDown. Had he gone to SmackDown, do you think he would have been given a world title match fairly soon? I'm sure he would
have. It seems like they would have given to him.
I think so. How long do you keep Jinder as champion, and who do you have him drop it to?
I would say have him keep it until McIntyre wins NXT Championship, and Heath Slater wins Tag Team Championship. So Damian Bayan has a belt.
I love everything that you just said, because that would be amazing, really. I'd buy that for a dollar.
Or if you want to make Ronald an opportunity, have Heath Slater beat Brock Lesnar.
I think whoever beats Brock should be unexpected.
It almost has to be, because, I mean, which makes you think it's going to be Finn Balor with his small size and everything.
Finn's not worthy. Seth's not worthy. Roman is booked to be worthy, but Roman has got enough accolades where he doesn't need it. If I was going to put somebody in that position, it would be Cesaro or Bray, depending on which guy they actually really would book better. I don't care about Samoa Joe anymore. That's what Raw has done to me. They've broken my fucking will to the point where my favorite fucking guy in NXT got called up to the main roster, and I couldn't have been fucking happier, and they've broken my motherfucking will through the worst booking possible for that motherfucker. I am so depressed when Samoa Joe is brought up. I just want to say how depressed his booking has made me.
Contact TNA about possible gimmick infringement, or going with a broken thing?
maybe. I don't know. I feel broken at this point, quite frankly, and I want to delete the past 2 months from Samoa Joe's career.
I'm sure he does too, except for the paycheck.
Yeah, that paycheck better be fucking worth it. Now, I read someplace, maybe it's just like somebody like Ryback running his mouth, about how like the pay isn't that good in WWE, but getting your name out there builds up your brand enough so when you're out, you can make good money. Do you think that's true, or do you think that you make really good money in WWE no matter what? Like, once you're in for, like, 2 or 3 years?
I think it depends how you define good money. I imagine it's, like, the lowest guy in the NBA still gets, like, six figures a year, you know? So I think it's kind of like that.
Oh, easily. I think the lowest guy gets, like, 300 grand, maybe 500
So I think
grand.
It's like that. I think they get paid decently to be a low-level guy, you know, enough to live off of easily. And then, obviously, you sell merch, you headline stuff, you get more money.
Can I point out how ridiculous I think it is? I was just thinking about this before we started the podcast. I was on ESPN, and I was reading the top free agents for the NBA this summer. And I got thinking about, how the fuck do baseball players make the same, like, they make such outrageous contracts. And really, they don't do nearly as much as NBA players do. I like, NBA players, at least, there's only 12 guys, or 15 guys, I guess. So you gotta divide up that money somehow. Baseball, if you're like the 40th guy, you get nothing.
Yeah. The minor leagues, like, I don't understand. They don't get paid hardly anything.
I don't understand how the salary scale works in baseball. I can't follow it anymore. I haven't followed it since the Mets and the Yankees played each other, and then when Boston beat the Yankees for the first time and all that god-awful shit. Like, after that, I got so sick of hearing about Boston and New York that I stopped watching. I every once in a while, they'll see, like, some guy signed for, like, $40 million a year, and I'm like, how the fuck is that happening?
I don't think there's any rules in baseball. I think it's you.
Because they got the strong
right.
union.
So, like, you can pay whatever you want for anyone. Like, there's no cap limits, there's no anything.
I find it so fucking absurd. I genuinely do. It bothers me, and I don't know. I mean, realistically, I just don't think the best person in baseball, like, the top 10 guys in baseball make way more money than the top 10 guys in basketball, and I think that's fucked. I could be wrong on that statement, but
Either way, they all get paid too much, but that's just me.
You know what? I will always take the side of if idiots are willing to pay for it, then make whatever you can. Yeah, like I always get like me and Russ had this argument probably about like 15 years ago. We were on the way to the Malarkey show to do a filming. And he's like, but teachers do this. I'm like, fuck teachers. They're easily replaceable. Nobody pays to see them. You have a salary, and if you don't accept it, then find a different profession. That's the way the world works. Whether it's fair or not, that's how this shit works.
Yep, that's how it goes.
And Russ went on to become a teacher.
Yeah.
And I went on to be a low-life scumbag. Good for me.
A podcast host.
Yeah, a podcast host with no funding, no advertising, no
gotta
nothing.
Gotta start somewhere.
Go me. Yeah. Usually the bottom.
Yeah, that's usually the start. I'm to Charlotte Flair.
Now, oh, god damn it, Charlotte. Are you going to be joining us for the 50th episode?
Probably. Okay. I should be able to do it.
Just so fans know, we're going to be discussing who we all think are the top 10 wrestlers in the WrestleMania era. That way we don't have to worry about dealing with the Bruno Sammartinos and all those old guys, Lou Fezzes, you know, that we never got to watch live. There's not enough footage for us to make a really good opinion. And wrestling has changed so much that their style just wouldn't... It's like watching older movies, and like some really old movies are still good, but by and large, in wrestling, it's a completely different thing than movies even. Like, old wrestling is really boring as fuck to watch. Would you not agree?
Old being the 80s also? Yeah.
I mean, just watch a match from the 70s, and it's fucking yawn-inducing by and large.
When was Magnum T.A. and Tully Blanchard? That was the 80s, wasn't it? Yeah,
it was the
80s,
yes, sir.
Was terrible. If you watch that cage match they had, that was pretty awesome.
Every once in a while, there was like the occasional gem, like, who was it? Bob Backlund. Bob Backlund had a few good matches. There are the occasional great matches, but by and large, watching old wrestling
it's like headlock.
It's tough to do.
Body slams every once in a while.
It was a lot of like preening to the audience and bear hugs galore for anybody who was quote-unquote big at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how they did it. And just, I mean, hell, even the early WrestleMania days are not that fun to watch in hindsight.
Yeah, I tried it. But, I was like, nope, can't do it.
Yeah, go ahead, audience. Go watch the first 5 WrestleManias and tell me how you feel about any of those matches. You're going to come back and tell me Savage versus Steamboat was good.
Yeah, that's it, pretty much, probably.
Possibly Hogan versus Savage, or like a rare Jake the Snake match, maybe. You're not gonna find much.
The boxing match between Mr. T and Piper.
Piper. Yeah. So many bad things. Now, just out of curiosity, do you have an idea of who your top 10 guys are gonna be, or
Japanese
have you put?
Heavy. Yeah, uh-huh. So Funaki, Tajiri.
Funaki, yes, of course. I'm hoping all of Kai and Tai, quite frankly.
Oh, yeah, Jushin Thunder Liger, Great Muda, you know, all those guys. I got an idea.
Will Vader be involved?
If I had to be similar to everybody else's, you would think top 10, I'm guessing. Maybe a few surprises, just because I can.
Alright, so like I started working on this whole list thing, and I don't want to give away too much because then it'd be a little redundant, but for me, the obvious ones are like, you know, your Hogan, your Austin, Rock, Cena, Taker. I think those 5 are going to be on everybody's list. I would assume Ric Flair is going to be on everybody's list. Then, though, it gets a little murky because I can see somebody not liking or appreciating like what Triple H did or how he got to where he's at. I think everything he's done speaks for itself. You got an Edge, you got Jericho, you got Sting, you got Orton, you got Shawn Michaels, you got Bret. And then after that's a small decline, so I think we're going to have some interesting 7 through 10 conversation.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
That'd be my best guess. I really hope not everybody comes to the same conclusion, because that'd be boring as fuck. I know it won't, because I have Austin much lower on my list than probably everybody else. I can safely say
that. I was
thinking
of throwing Vince McMahon on there, because he was like the greatest heel ever.
He really was? I'll say this. I think, do you feel, this is something I've been thinking about, does it hurt Austin's legacy in the least bit that when you look at his WrestleMania matches, which a lot of people can, hype up WrestleMania as being something to look at, three of his matches were against The Rock. He had that match with Savio, which was okay. He had the classic with Bret Hart, one of the all-time great matches. He had the retirement, the Shawn Michaels who couldn't put on a great enough match. So, like, it wasn't Austin's fault, but, he won his title and everything. And then he also had the Scott Hall match, which really wasn't that good for whatever reason. It was very underwhelming. Does that count against Austin on the all-time rankings? That's something that I've really been wondering lately.
That's a good question.
You look at everybody else that's, like, in your top five, you can pinpoint everybody's great, like, WrestleMania matches, and it's like this fucking list of who's who. And even The Rock, yes, he did fight Austin, but he's also had the two matches with Cena, for better or worse. He's had a lot of matches aside from that. The Hulk Hogan match is legendary. Even like him and Foley versus Evolution, or him versus the fucking Eric Rowan and Luke Harper or some shit. He's been in a lot of other matches. And his career, though, once again, I think Rock is going to be highly overrated on this list. I'm kind of curious where people put him, because his in-ring career was not very long. He's made appearances since he left for Hollywood, but once he got the Hollywood bug, his career was, I think, 8 years.
I'm going to be proud. I'm going to be 10. He's number 10 on my list.
All right. Well, there's a little bit of insight for you guys.
No.
To Wednesdays from now.
Number 10, though. I don't know. He won't be that low.
Yeah, he's not that low, but, I mean, I've been taking all these things into consideration, like, how much weight does Sting being the fucking man for WCW for how many years? That has to count for something.
Or was WCW
I feel.
That awful?
Or, like, how much does Orton's 13 or 14 title wins, how many of them were just, like, bullshit gimme wins? And, like, same with somebody like a Cena or somebody like Edge. Edge has, like, 10 or 11 title runs. I'm trying to figure out, like, how to weigh them versus, a Sting. Or how do you weigh all of Triple H's title runs?
Right.
Aside from the last one.
And then how much weight do you put on title runs? Because it's not real competition. Do you just go by title runs, quality of matches, how popular they were, how much you like them?
How big the era was at the time? Like, when Hogan and Austin were big, the business was booming. When Bret was big, the business was not booming.
How much of a dick they were backstage to hold people down.
Shawn Michaels, Hulk Hogan. Yeah. I don't even know if Shawn Michaels is cracking my top 10, and I feel really awkward about that scenario. So I got to really... I think Jericho cracks my top 10. I think I've made that official in my mind.
I was thinking of surprising people putting him in the top 5. Because
Jericho's fucking list is ridiculous, like his accomplishments.
Heel Jericho,
man.
Is, I think, when he's heel, he's like the best in the business. But when he's a face, not so much.
I agree.
I mean, he beat Hulk Hogan and Rock in one night.
And that, pardon the indiscretion here, but that was historic and first time ever, and only
that's
time
right,
ever.
First ever undisputed champion, or whether it was, whatever they called it, unified champion.
Undisputed?
I don't know.
Unified. I don't know. Yeah. But, I mean, that really is a historic one-time-ever thing. Like, that's never going to happen where you beat... I don't even know if we're ever going to have an era where we have two icons, the name of Hogan and Rock, and somebody beat them both on the same night. when they were both kind of like in their prime or shortly thereafter their prime, in Austin's case. Yeah. I mean, that was a fucking
push. I'm like, is he top five? I think he might be.
I can see credence to that. I wonder... All right, I'll say Brett, for instance. Although Brett, when he was at on top, wasn't... Business wasn't booming. If it wasn't for him and his involvement in the screw job, Vince never becomes evil Vince, and we may never have the Attitude Era.
Right.
Brett caused, like, this incredible chain reaction of fucketry. He kind of killed WCW because they booked him so horribly after signing him for that much money.
And he kind of created Stone Cold. Where would Stone Cold be without Hitman?
Oh, God, yes. Brett helped a lot of guys. I mean, Shawn probably would have made it, but Brett really helped cement Shawn at WrestleMania 12.
Yeah.
That has to count. You know, then you go to Flair, who used to wrestle 45 to 60 minutes a night, has 16 championships, survived but a plane crash. A lot of his championships were short. Yeah, survived a fucking plane crash, lived the lifestyle, wrestled for fucking 40-some years, it seemed. You know, where does that go? And then, you know, you have to wonder, I don't know, contributions and all that shit, like how many people they helped make. You know, Triple H with NXT, that really helps his cause quite a bit, in my opinion.
Yeah, but then you gotta consider the promoters. So you have to pull Paul Lee in there.
But Paul Lee wasn't a wrestler, so I can't put Paul Lee in my top 10 wrestlers.
It's Triple H as a whole, his whole career, including not just his wrestling career.
And that's the tough thing because, you know, can I include that as part of my argument? Because if I can't, then can I include Vince and or Paul Heyman in the discussion? I think I can include, I mean, Triple H obviously is in the discussion. It's just a question of whether I can include NXT as part of it or not.
It's a tough one. What about Sting? The biggest WCW was when he did nothing for a year.
But it was because of Hogan, NWO, and how Sting was portrayed. I don't know. Like, Sting really didn't do anything. He came down from the rafters with baseball bats, and that was awesome as hell. Like,
but he didn't really do anything. He just kind of...
Right. Weird thing is, he didn't, like, have an injury or anything during that time, right?
That was a gimmick. He didn't do anything for, like, a whole year. I don't know why, but...
Imagine, like, he got paid a lot of money, obviously, just to do that. That's pretty badass. Yeah, that's
pretty good.
So, I don't know. I have a list going, actually, on the folder in the Google Drive, so feel free to check it out and add anything to it, because I tried adding as much stuff, pros and cons.
Would you try Benoit?
Benoit doesn't crack top 10, that's true. Obviously. He only had the...
Maybe.
He had two world heavyweight championship runs. One was the one day in WCW right before he left, and then the, 4 or 5 month run between WrestleMania to SummerSlam. But he is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, which then makes me wonder, where the fuck does Kurt Angle in his role in TNA and WWE, like, where the fuck does Kurt Angle fall in all this?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
And Sting, once again, we left out TNA with Sting, but Sting won the world title quite a few times. He was integral.
He was the first Hall of Famer in TNA, wasn't he?
Yeah. So, I think the episode's going to be loaded. I don't think we're going to talk about any weekly wrestling that week. I think it's just going to be mainly this discussion. I think it's going to be kind of interesting to see where everybody kind of goes with it.
And what do you do with AJ? It was too soon for them to be in the top 10.
Yeah, AJ was like a TNA savior. I know he was very good in Japan. I didn't watch his stuff in Japan, so my ignorance there doesn't help AJ's case.
Yeah, a good point.
AJ's probably top 30, and I don't know if I'd go any higher than that. I don't know.
So much of his career was not seen by anyone.
Right. Like, what do you do with Mick Foley? Mick Foley's a tough guy to really figure out because he was multiple-time world champion. He did the hardcore stuff. He was made famous by Taker, but he was really good prior to the Hell in a Cell match. He was great both heel and face. He was involved in a lot of memorable things, and his first belt was the night that kind of changed the course of the Attitude Era in a lot of ways. That shit's important. Coming up with a top 10 list is going to be hard as hell, folks, and I'm probably going to try to... I'm going to tell the people that they can email us, and nobody will, but I'm still going to tell
people. All your fans will email you.
All two of them will email and be like, "Your list sucks!
You're terrible. John Cena's number one."
Like, Macho Man, Macho Man actually held the belt a few times in WCW. He's an interesting cat because he's widely considered one of the best of that era in ring and on the mic.
And some would say he died to prevent the apocalypse, I believe.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Wasn't there a Mayan calendar thing that was like that day it was like the apocalypse or something?
Yes. Yes. And I still have like, I have this picture saved and it's like Macho Man dropping the elbow on something. And I think it had something to do with that. It was like this, I don't know, cartoony painting thing, but it was awesome. It was very funny. So yeah, Macho Man saved us all.
Do you count tag teams in the top 10? Probably not. Or factions?
Yeah. No. I mean, you can count that, you know, The Rock was part of the corporation and part of the Nation of Domination. But, you know, for Flair, obviously that does count. He was the leader of one or two, like, probably the stable. Is there... I don't know. I'm struggling to say there was a better stable than the Four Horsemen for what they did.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't think any stable is better than the Four Horsemen.
Right. So, he was the leader of that for how many fucking years? That counts for something. How much of it? I don't know. Like, Daniel Bryan. We know what kind of a career he had before going to WWE. We know that he was one of the greatest indie guys of all time. He didn't have very good title runs, though. He's not top 10 material, but I could see people arguing that he's top 20 or 25 material.
Well, if you let him wrestle, he might be top 10.
Yeah, because he'd probably still be putting on matches and or
yes,
injured.
Yes, and probably killing his wife or something.
Absolutely. See, that's what I really want. Bring Daniel Bryan back to kill off Brie. And Birdie. Worst fucking name for a child that doesn't begin with L.A.
Yeah, that kid's gonna have some tough living.
As a male or female, do we know?
Female? I hope.
I hope so. If that's a dude with the name Birdie, unless he's Tupac and above the rim, he's gonna have a bad time.
Yeah. You don't name a man Birdie.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've reached our typical mark. And like I said, we're going to hopefully have Steve back 2 Wednesdays from now. And then we'll definitely have Steve back 2 Mondays from now to discuss the historic once in a lifetime, never before seen, blah, 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 extreme rules fucketry that I just can't wait. I'm bubbling with anticipation for that pay-per-view.
I also cannot wait.
Yeah. Well, do you have any parting thoughts before we get off here? Actually, wait. We talked basketball last time. Who you got for winning the NBA championship?
I really hate both the Cavs and the Warriors.
Yeah. I'm with you. Are you cheering on the Spurs by any chance?
At this point, it's too late. I would be if, you know, Kawhi and Tony Parker were healthy. But
yeah, that's devastating. And then Isaiah Thomas being out for the Celtics.
That helps them,
I mean,
though,
really, the injuries. Do you think I think Isaiah Thomas is a little overrated. Like, he scores really well, and everybody only cares about offense, so that's why he's a star. But I think he's a little overrated. Not saying like he's not very good, but I don't necessarily think he's great.
I think he's the worst defender in the league, by some stat.
Oh,
so
well, he's 5'9". How the hell is he supposed to defend? Like that's a problem.
Yeah, so I mean, defense picked up when he was out because you get taller guys in there.
You know, it'd be interesting to watch like a basketball league made up of 6 feet and under.
That would be interesting.
Would you not watch like a summer league of 6 feet and under people? Yeah, I would.
I feel like it'd be. I don't want to say better, but it'd be like maybe more skill involved and not just.
I think it'd be more fun in the fact that it'd be a lot. There'd be a lot of offense. It'd be very offense-oriented and very fast-paced.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it.
They have football leagues where people are, like, under a certain requirement. Yeah.
Really?
Not professional, I don't think. It's like semi-pro or something, like, but...
Hmm. I think the Warriors have to win this year. Like, if they don't, everything... If they don't win this year, I think the Warriors are going to find themselves not competing for NBA championships very much longer. I think they'll cause a big, big rift in the team because of the Durant stuff.
I wish Durant stayed in Oklahoma City to see what they could do again.
Yeah. I think they would been I think they would have been this in the finals again against the Warriors. And quite frankly, all it would have taken was you know, as we saw last year, somebody else aside from Durant and Westbrook to hit a few shots and they would have won that
series. And Draymond Green to be suspended when he should have. For kicking a guy in the junk.
Draymond Green, yeah. Poor Steven Adams. I felt bad for his junk.
Yeah.
I also felt bad for... Did you hear about the dude that's from Turkey that got denied entry into Romania? Enes Kanter, right?
Thunder player.
Yeah, I saw that. I was reading, I was like, wow, that's pretty fucked up that his whole family disowned him and all that shit. For obvious reasons, but still a fucked up thing. That's crazy. So you got Warriors or Cavs? Because it seems like that's the choice.
I feel like it's gotta be Warriors. I don't think LeBron's good enough to beat the entire team of the Warriors.
No. I really, I don't necessarily know if LeBron's ever going to win another championship because I don't think he can weasel a fourth all-star to help him. And that's the only way he can win championships is by having multiple all-stars with him at all
times.
You
need that now anyway, apparently. I mean, Warriors are stacked with all-stars.
All right, but if the Spurs had a healthy Kawhi Leonard and healthy Tony Parker... Don't you think they would have given the Warriors at least a good series in a scare?
I think Popovich is such a great coach that it would be a lot closer, with those guys healthy.
Do you think it's ridiculous that Steve Kerr is considered one of the like three greatest coaches right now? I find that absolutely absurd.
Yeah. He's here to that team. I mean, that team came fully loaded without him.
Right, it's like Phil Jackson inheriting Horace Grant, Pippen, and Jordan. Yeah, like you're going to struggle with that? You shouldn't.
What do you do with the Knicks this year?
I will say this. Eric Spoelstra, who I didn't think was that good of a coach because he got all the praise during the LeBron years, he's proven himself to be a very good coach with less talent, I think.
Yeah, it's amazing how good you can be when you're allowed to coach and not have a player coach on your team.
Yeah. It's a big, big, big difference there. So, kudos. I don't know if I asked you this last time. Who did you have for MVP this year?
Westbrook. Maybe Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
One of those two, though.
I had to go with Westbrook just because the Spurs still would have won 50 games somehow without Kawhi. The Thunder would have maybe won 20 games, and I'm not even sure about that.
How many triple doubles did Westbrook have?
I think it was 50 in the 50s somewhere.
That's pretty crazy.
We just lived through one of the most historic seasons in sports history, not just basketball, in sports history. And they're still like, well, maybe James Harden deserved it. He shot a lot of threes, and he was point guard for Mike D'Antoni. Yeah, so was Nash. Nash won back-to-back MVPs, and he didn't deserve either one. And I like Steve Nash a lot, but he didn't deserve the MVPs. He worked in a really good system that optimized everything. Yep. That's why I can't put Curry, you know. What the fuck does Curry have to do? He just has to sink his fucking threes.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson, what the fuck does he have to do? He's the fourth option on that team. You have the third or fourth defender on you at all times.
It's Steve Kerr, or the other white guy in the Bulls before Steve Kerr.
John yes. Paxson.
Sit behind the three-point line and just wait for the ball to come to you.
And then Draymond had the nerve to complain that that Klay didn't make the All-NBA third team. I was like, why would that guy deserve to? He just had to receive the ball and shoot it. I don't even know if Klay plays defense. I haven't watched enough Warriors games to really deduce that.
Yeah, I don't either. It's like people saying Robert Horry is the best player ever because he has 7 rings, but all he did was sit behind the three and just hit 3 clutch shots.
Right. He didn't do like a Bill Russell, who was like the staple for, what was it, 11 titles?
I think so, yeah. 8 in a row, I think. I know that.
I also got to say, I get really mad when people say Steph's a good defender. I disagree with that in the fact that when you're playing the Warriors, you have to ball out of your mind. You have to shoot a lot of threes. And basically playing that game, you're going to be on the losing end when you're just shooting a lot of threes, because most likely your team's not going to be on fire the whole game. So your percentages and everything's going to be down, and that's the only way, though, you can compete with the Warriors' firepower. Therefore, like, their defensive numbers look good, but the reality is the team just shot themselves in the foot because they didn't have any other option.
I think Steph's kind of in the Isaiah Thomas spot. He's really undersized to be a defender in the NBA.
Isn't he like 6'3"?
He's skinny, though.
He's tiny, yeah. He's a tiny... Like, it's weird.
I'm surprised no team tried to get Ray Allen.
I really thought he was going to go to the Cavs. I thought that was a done deal, Celtics. Yeah, because apparently he has a hate on for the Celtics. I don't even know what that beef's over.
I didn't read into it at all.
By the way, come on. Do you honestly believe that the NBA draft isn't rigged? Because I could have told you before that fucking draft happened that the Celtics were getting number one and the Lakers were getting number two. I would bet $1,000 on that.
I've been saying it's been rigged ever since Duncan didn't go to the Celtics. Because that year, Celtics had their most lottery balls, and they didn't get number one pick.
Which was awesome, by the way. So I hate the Celtics, so I was very happy. But, yeah, I mean, it's been accused of being rigged since, you know, the fucking Ewing draft lottery. But there are some years where it's just like, really? So you mean to tell me that the Celtics get the number one pick, and the Lakers, who want Lonzo Ball, supposedly, are going to be able to get him?
Does anyone know how the lottery actually works? I know it's not just to put balls in the thing.
Okay, so it's a number combination. So say, like, there's 10,000 number combinations, and they draw 5 balls. So if you have the highest percentage, say you had 11%, you get so many different number combinations. That's how the draft lottery works.
Which seems kind of easy to rig if you wanted to.
yes. Yes, it does. It's no longer, because, you know, you remember back in the day, it just used to be, you know, you just grabbed a ball and that was it.
Those were the days.
David Stern, fucking badass. I don't know. I'm happy in a way that the Mavs didn't get number two, because I feel bad for any team that gets Lonzo Ball. I just want to throw that out there. Right, it has nothing to do with Lonzo. It has everything to do with his father, who is hilarious in his own way, but he is so dumb, too. Like, to say that he doesn't want to market to women, I don't care what you think about women. single moms buy those fucking shoes for their stupid ass kids. Yeah, you market to those women. You market to them and hope to get some money.
If a single mom has retarded. $500 to spend on shoes, I wonder what she's doing for work.
Same thing Chasey Lane probably could used be. To do.
Yeah.
Dude, you see it all the time, though. You see all these guys that grow up with single moms, and you see them, you know, you hear about them in high school and college, and if they're successful, you hear that a lot. I don't even know what the portion is of guys that are in the NBA who were raised by single moms, or grandmothers, for that matter. I'm going to guess that that number is in the double digits, easily.
Oh, yeah. I hate to say this, but a lot of it is where they grow up, too.
It's the culture and their environment. I agree. I mean, we're kind of tiptoeing around it, but there is some racial connotations involved with this.
Any sport,
for better
really.
Or worse. except for hockey. Well, and their culture and their environment dictates
exactly.
That stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, let's face it. We've heard it so many times, a young black dude gets drafted, raised by a single mom, or you hear grandma an awful lot nowadays, too.
That was like the...
But somehow...
Was it NBA 2K17 that Spike Lee did? The season mode for?
Oh, God, no, that was...
15?
I think it was 16, or 15.
That was just stereotype after stereotype.
Yes, it was. Well, I mean, Steve, I'm going to ask the obvious question, but have you ever seen a Spike Lee movie?
I've seen a few, yeah.
All right, and in every single Spike Lee movie that I can think of, there's always that one span of time where somebody has like this monologue or there's like this montage of people saying the most racist, fucked up things ever, and Spike Lee's considered a fucking genius
yeah,
for it.
That makes, yeah.
Every film I've ever seen of his.
That's fitting. He's a niche there. Yeah.
I mean, I loved He Got Game. I think that is a fucking great movie. What was it? Summer of Sam he did. The fucking 25th Hour with Ed Norton. Do the Right Thing. Did he do She's Gotta Have It?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so I've seen all of these movies, and by and large, liked them all. Like, he's really good at what he does. It's just that every movie, he has that moment, and it's like, I feel uncomfortable now.
Yeah, he has that one little thing all the time. I mean, that's his thing, I guess. You know, it's just...
It's what he's known for. Abrams has the lens flare, and Spike has racist dialogue.
And yeah. Quentin Tarantino has, what, long, drawn-out movies that could be edited down to about half an hour?
I don't know, man. I'm such a huge fan of Tarantino that I would never want his films edited down any more than they are. But that's just because I'm a glutton for the stuff that he puts out there.
Yeah, I like all the movies.
I can understand why people...
Was it Hateful Eight? Could have been edited quite a bit.
Yeah. The only one that I wouldn't have edited is his longest one is Kill Bill. I think that movie was fucking brilliant from beginning to end.
It helps that it was broken up into two movies, too.
Yeah. Like, had it just been one full movie, I think it would have been overkill. But I really liked that. I mean, there's not a single Tarantino movie that I don't like. I mean, I even love Jackie Brown. I think it's horribly underrated.
That's probably my least favorite of his. Which isn't...
I think it's the least favorite of damn near everybody's.
I mean,
but it's not a bad
awesome
movie.
Movies.
Like, seriously, what's tougher? Naming your top five wrestlers of all time or naming top five Tarantino movies of all time? I don't know. That's a fucking quagmire that I can't even possibly... fucking discern, because every time I see Reservoir Dogs, I sit here and I go, God damn it, I forgot how
I
much I love
say,
this
the,
movie.
The top two
and then
Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs.
I have a hard time, because Kill Bill's in that conversation for me. That's my top three in some way. And then I don't know. Inglourious Bastards, maybe? Fuck, man. Lots of good stuff to choose from.
Grindhouse one.
Alright, dead last. I fucking hate... What was that? Shit. It wasn't Planet Terror, it was the other one. Kurt Russell.
Was it called Grindhouse? No.
I mean, the thing combined was Grindhouse, but it was Planet Terror and something else. I can't remember. I forget that ever happened. Like, I don't know where I put Django. I've only ever watched Django once. I loved it, but I wasn't sure how much I would love watching it over and over again. Whereas Pulp Fiction, I can pop in right now and recite a good third of that fucking film still.
Yeah, Django wasn't one I'd want to see again, I don't think.
Every other one I've seen multiple times, except for Hateful Eight. I haven't seen that multiple times, or the Grindhouse flick, for obvious reasons.
I liked, what's his name, Walter Goggins in the...
Walton Goggins. He's amazing. But he's been good. He's good in everything I've ever seen. Like, it's weird, but I always like throwing him and Timothy Oliphant in the same conversation, and then to know that they're both in Justified, and I've never seen Justified, drives me fucking nuts. Because I love both guys' work.
Is that on Netflix now? I think it is, right?
It's either on that or on Amazon. I can't remember which. I mean, I have access to all of them, so whatever. As I've said past couple days now, I'm really driven to watch The Wire. Eric said to me, he's like, you of all people are the one person of my life that I would suspect would have watched The Wire.
I haven't seen that either. I mean... It's really good, and I like the guy who did it, because he did Homicide, Life on the Streets. And that was, like, one of the best cop shows ever on TV. But I haven't seen The Wire yet.
Do you have HBO Go or HBO Now or any of that shit?
No, I don't have HBO. I have Amazon and Netflix. Okay. But...
You know what? It could be on Amazon, too, because some of the HBO shows are still streaming on Amazon. And it's only 5 seasons,
yeah, I think. So that might be a watch at some point.
Yeah. All right. Well, I said we'd get off here 27 minutes ago, and then we got talking on tangents, as is tradition. But with that being said, we should get off here, and I'm not even going to watch Raw right now. I'm going to go play Elder Scrolls Online and get mad at that. So... like I said, hopefully we see you back into Wednesdays for episode number 50. Anybody that wants to check out previous stuff, go to 9deuce.com. Check out the wrestling blogs at 9deuce.com/wrestling. Check us out on Instagram and Twitter at official, the number 9, and then the word deuce. And there's other shit, but if you hit those things, you're going to be fine. You'll get most of our shit that way. So, do you have any parting thoughts, Steve, before we wrap this up?
No.
All right.
Yeah,
solid.
Good times.
Then, all right. For Steve, I'm going to say have a good night, everybody. Catch you in 2 days. Yeah.